Hello and welcome to the Blackout Podcast, where I get to talk to amazing people who do amazing things. And I'm breathing funny because we actually started the episode by doing what Skylar, my guest Skylar Broman, does. like aerial stuff, but you also actually take care of bones. Like you are, you know, you have two sides to you. You like do all these graceful things and then you're freakishly strong. Thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been trying to make this happen for a while, but I'm grateful that it happened. And what I'm thinking is like, actually, let's just start with the acro and aerial stuff.
For sure.
How did you get into doing it?
Well, it's a funny story. I wouldn't have anticipated that I would get involved with this. But about 13 years ago, I saw my friend Jess Flynn doing acro yoga. So that's it's kind of like partner yoga, where there's a person that lays on the ground and the other person's on their feet and they do tricks and things like that. I thought that was so cool. And I asked Jess if I could do a massage trade to get a free acro yoga lesson. At that time, I wanted to take this girl on a date. And
it was
a different one.
All right,
so I asked her to come to the first private lesson with me.
Oh, okay.
And so we had an acro yoga date. It was my first time doing it and hers as well.
Oh, nice.
And I was hooked ever since.
Wow.
And after that one time doing it, I probably did acro yoga at least once a day for the next year.
Wow.
And then I started teaching it. And then I like got into other circus stuff, more the standing acrobatic things that we just did. And then the aerial started. So that was a whole different adventure. And same thing, I saw somebody doing a performance with partner aerials. And this is something I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was amazing. So I said, I'll learn how to do that. And so I enrolled at Halifax Circus and learned how to get into like the basing position. So basically I climb up the silks. That's my main apparatus. There's a bunch of different aerial apparatuses like trapeze and straps and things like that. But mm-hmm. I mainly do the aerial silks. Mm. So I learned how to climb up the silks and tie myself up and hang upside down. So that somebody could hang off of me. And, you know, fortunately, there was a partner workshop a few months after I learned how to get into that position. Mm. And, you know, funny enough, there hasn't been one since. Until we did one this summer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I sort of took over the reins with that stuff. You know, it was very lucky that I got to see this stuff happen. And then immediately after I learned how to get into the position, there was a workshop that allowed me to start to learn that.
Wow. So you're like, have you always been that way? Even as a kid, if you see something, you're like, I like that, I'm going to try that?
Yes. Short answer, yes. I think I get that from my mother. Like she's always been that way too. And I've had the confidence to say, I'll try it, and like we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Like that's all you can do. And I think if I put my mind to something, I'm gonna make it happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so and then on the other side, oh, I'm not gonna say this correctly, but like you do the massage thing, but like we bones, what was that?
Right, so.
How do you say that word?
Osteopathy.
There you go, that yes. word. How did yeah. you get into doing that?
Right, yeah, so.
And what is it?
So it's a manual therapy practice. It's a long, degree. It's 6 years.
Wow.
But essentially it's like if you combined like a chiropractor and a massage therapist or something like that. But what we're doing is looking at the whole body and really finding areas that aren't moving and making them move better.
So what? So I'm like, I'd come to you. Okay, for instance, now my ankle is killing me, right?
Right.
I come to you, I'm like, my ankle is killing me. What happened?
Right. So you know, I would first do an assessment. Like, is it the muscles, or was there like a ligament sprain that you need sort of more balance retraining or things like that, or is just one of those bones tight and they need to be manipulated, or you need to know which stretch to do to fix it.
Hmm. And then how long is a typical session, and is it something I have to keep coming like weekly or?
Right, yeah. So, you know, I really try to sort of find out what's going on and give people tools so they don't have to come back.
Right.
You know, I don't want to see everybody. You know, like it might be good for my bank account,
right,
but
it's
not good for you. Mm. And like, you know, I same thing. I have learned a lot of stuff. I'm also an acupuncturist.
So, oh, with the needles.
That's right. So I'm a massage therapist, an acupuncturist, and an osteopath. And really, I want to see what's going to best help that person and give them the tools to help themselves too.
Which came first, though?
Massage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you want to be a massage therapist?
Yeah, I had a lot of injuries myself.
Of course, right? Because you're always like, oh, I'm going to try that.
Yeah. And, you know, like in my teens, I used a skateboard a lot.
Oh.
And I've had six different fractures just from skateboarding.
Where and what bones?
What bones? Three times my left wrist. Two times my right wrist.
Because I always fall and try and support yourself.
Yeah, I didn't learn not to catch myself with my hands. And then the last one was my left fibula, and that one still has plates and screws in it.
Holy
so metal
shit.
Plates. Yeah.
So that was like the big, big one.
That was the big one. That's when I said, I'm not going to skateboard anymore.
Do you remember what caused that one? Like, what were you trying to do?
It wasn't anything cool.
Oh my God!
That one was the least cool of all the injuries.
I
was.
Wait, isn't that annoying? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're doing something really cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then...
It was very annoying. That one, I was having a dinner party with some friends, and we had like a fireplace in this old apartment we used to rent. And I said, oh, I'll skateboard down to the end of the street and get some more firewood.
Oh.
And I didn't come back. I got taken to the Emerge.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. How long ago was that?
That was when I was 19 years old. So I'm 36 now.
So
17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like once you, at what point did you decide, I'm going to learn this, you know, massage thing?
Right. That would be 13 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And like, how what was the process? How
right.
long did it take?
So yeah, like, you know, I thought I might become a professional drummer. Before that I was like, okay, I'm probably gonna become a professional drummer.
And like, were you like drumming all this time? Okay.
Yeah.
Like for bands?
For bands,
okay.
Yes. So I used to play in a lot of bands and tour around and things like that. And I didn't go to school as much as I should and just played music.
Right.
Then you know, at some point I said, oh, I probably actually can't make a living playing drums. And I went and traveled around Europe with my brother. And then when we got back, I said, oh, I'll apply for massage school. And if I get in, I'll do it. And then same thing, I became addicted to it.
What did you
addicted
like about
to learning.
It? Oh, learning, okay.
Yeah, I was fascinated with how the body worked and how you know, I could learn about my own body. And you know, my massage degree, I graduated the highest GPA and all that stuff.
Nice. Yeah. So here's the thing I always think about. I go to a massage and I'm like, oh, this is good. Like, as a therapist, right, it must be difficult for you to find a therapist for yourself, or like,
right,
because you kind of know what to do, but you really can't do it to yourself.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Everybody's different too. So that's an interesting thing about wellness professionals. It's both an art and a science. Mm. So finding that person you connect with is it's a difficult thing.
Yeah, no, I know, like, because before I kind of settled on the person I use now, it's like trying. I'm like, yes. Oh, this works, I remember. But sometimes you have like a therapist that like you leave the session like with a headache. But like 2 days later, you feel a lot better. But right after, it's like, why is this so painful? Like,
right.
And how do you, I guess, what decides how deep, how intense the, you know, the pressure is versus, oh, we'll just do a light thing.
For sure. Some of that's experience. Just like one is, you know, knowing sort of, you know, I feel like I have this skill now that, you know, I can transfer some of the circus stuff is sort of extending my awareness into the person's body.
All right.
So, you know, if I put too much pressure on you, I'm going to know that's too much. You're going to give me like bodily signs that's saying, oh, this is not a good thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know.
So all these things you do kind of connect. Okay. The massage thing, you did that graduated yes. Football class. What did you do? And like, which one came next? Acupuncture?
Acupuncture. But funny enough, I was I was trying to do my osteopathy with my second year of massage school, like at the same time, but they wouldn't let me do it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I finished my massage diploma and then worked a couple years and then added acupuncture.
Why did you decide to do acupuncture? Like,
I watched a BBC documentary and the BBC documentary said that you know, acupuncture is really great for people with osteoarthritis, and you know, even in China, they do open heart surgery with no pain medication, just acupuncture.
Holy shit!
So people have faster recovery times and stuff like that, so they don't have to be put under, and yeah, all kinds of interesting stuff.
Mm.
So I said, okay, I'll learn this and see how that goes.
How long did you take to learn? And
that was 2 years.
It's from China, right? Like,
yes, so it's a traditional Chinese medicine.
So you don't have to learn Chinese though.
No.
Okay.
No, it's all English, but yeah, there's a bunch of strange terms and things like that.
Okay.
But
one of the I remember I talked to someone and they're like, there's a part they can put the needle and then you won't even like be able to smell stuff. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, apparently because there's so many, you know, little parts in the human body that you can prick, and like this place affects that place. I'm like, holy shit. How long did it take to learn that?
Well, that was hard. It's a lot of memorization. So yeah, there's, you know, all those points throughout your body, and each one of those does a million different things. So you have to remember every single point and then remember the list of everything it does.
Also, you kind of, like, the needle itself, like, it is painful though, right? Like,
some, yeah. Yeah, some really suck. Like, there's acupuncture needles that, like, go in your cuticle bed of your, like, toes.
No. That sounds like torture.
And, like, you know, it might be, like, so some of those points, they're used for people that are late in their pregnancy and need to give birth.
Oh.
So in my mind, I'm like, you know, I can sort of rationalize. It is kind of like torture because it's like, you're like, almost.
You need to activate your body.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like almost getting that fight or flight pace.
Yeah.
So I think that plays a role in it.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. How long did you learn that for?
So, yes, it takes about 2 years to learn how to do that.
Like, And oh, of course, you're doing massage
thing. Yeah. You know? So yeah, I've been in school for 10 years for wellness stuff, and you know, I'm still learning.
I mean, I guess it's a good thing that you love learning, though.
I do. I like it. It is, you know, once I go down some of these rabbit holes, it's hard to stop.
Okay. So you have the acupuncture, the massage, osteopathy all combined. Do you like work in a place? Do you work for yourself?
Right. I have my own clinic on Spring Garden Road, Thrive Osteopathy and Wellness. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on my own, I think, for about 10 years.
Huh.
Yeah.
And how do you, your clients go on a website or whatever to find you? And then, how does it work, though? Is it by appointment?
Yeah, that's all. It's all by appointment. Yeah, I get most of my clients from referrals and things
right.
like that.
Oh my God, yeah. Kyla saved my life. You need to talk yes. to this person, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. My new, over the past 2 years, I've been studying low back pain. So that's been a...
because we are sitting down too much, especially since the pandemic and 100%. People working at home.
That's right.
You and stand up on a chance like, it hurts. And I'm like, yeah. Why?
Yeah, for sure. With low back pain, our lives are getting easier. We don't have to do as much hard labor and things like that. But yet, low back pain rates are skyrocketing. They keep going up. So there's, us being less active is a correlation with that.
So it's like hundreds and thousands of years ago, we had to hunt. Yeah. And we had to do this thing. And that's kind of what we've been evolved to do. But now, boop. My food comes, poop.
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't have to go on hunts for anything anymore.
Yes.
Hell, I can even date on my phone.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the things you do encourage people is to move.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the best things. Movement and, that's one thing I love about circus too. Is it's me connecting with people through movement.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's scary, though.
Do you know what? It is scary. Yeah. Last year, we traveled to Vietnam to perform.
Right.
So last December, my aerial partner and I were in Vietnam performing at the International Circus Festival.
And how was that experience first?
So they had a whole, it was a stadium just designed for circus.
Holy shit.
And I went in and I looked up and I said, wow, that's a really high ceiling. I've never gone up that high before. And they have a rig that just brings you up there. And I was scared because here we don't have that.
Yeah.
So that was scary for me. But
so is it you can't not look down, right? Because whenever you're way up, they're like, don't look down. I mean, if you're upside down, you have to look down and stuff.
Yes.
How do you choose your partner, though?
Right. There's with the person I went to Vietnam with, we actually went to the Silks workshop I think eight or so years ago together. We've been doing silks on and off ever since. There's been a few other people I've trained with and performed with, but you sort of find somebody that you can connect with and that's also reliable with the, because it's a partner thing. So
right.
Finding somebody that's reliable is
hard.
They
have to show up. They gotta
show up.
Yeah. Stuff, yeah.
I've had other partners that they're amazing, but they don't show up. So we've had to go separate ways.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not here when I need you, it's difficult to do this thing we have to do.
That's right.
Okay. Let's talk about the thing itself. What are training do you have to do? Because I'm thinking before you even go on the silks and stuff, you actually have to do some basic ground training, right?
Right. Yeah. It depends. I getting stronger is my motivation to go to the gym and things like that, so that I can do different moves on silks. Mm-hmm. So my, you know, anytime I go to the gym, my workouts are geared towards either partner acrobatics, lifting somebody above my head, or holding somebody while I'm upside down.
So a lot of things with grips and a lot of pushing.
Yes. Yep. That's right. So
I saw a video the other day about like grips, and this guy was using the, you know, the thing.
Yes.
It's like the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And I tried it, and it's not really easy. Oh.
Yeah.
So I got one where you can like tune it, you know, so yes. Lights and stuff. And like I was at the lightest thing, and but most of it wasn't like dynamic. It was like basically you have to hold it.
Yes.
And it's the holds that were more difficult. And then I'm thinking,
it's hard. Yeah.
That's what you have to do when you're holding that person up or, you know, down, right. Depending.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on how long can I hold like somebody's ankle while I'm upside down. Like, seriously, that's what my training is. Like, I'm like, how long can I hold it there? Because it's difficult.
It helps though if your partner is not too heavy.
Yes.
Because, like, I don't think you can hold me up. Like,
no. No. Yeah. It is, it definitely helps if they're
right.
On
so,
the lighter
so,
side.
So, you get on the, okay. And then your thighs must be freaking strong too, because you, that's how you hold yourself up with the thing, right?
It, not necessarily.
No. Okay.
it's almost like they create like a noose around my, like, hips.
Oh,
and yeah, so it really binds you there.
So it was like, if I can get into that position, I should stay there unless something really freakish happens.
Yes. So I'm stuck there. Yeah.
Okay. So once you're there, it's like,
yeah,
but like the force is also pulling you down. So it's like, right, your arm, your shoulder. How's your shoulders and your back also?
Right. So yeah, I do a lot of training to make sure I'm fine during those things.
What is some of the training you have to do?
Different types of pull-ups, things like that. And especially for...
Do you train like those people that climb those things? Like, you know, those like 7 bays, you know, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be very good. I went rock climbing...
Yeah, rock climbing,
probably about a month ago. And I was like, wow, I should be doing this more often, because it's almost a perfect exercise to like skill transfer with aerials.
Yeah. Because like when you're watching those movies and like... You know, the hero is like holding himself up and like, get out of here. And then you see them making, and you see they have like ropes holding them up. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because like, if you're like in a playground.
Yes.
As kids, we could do those things.
Right.
It's like, but once they're like, you know, you're too cool. I'm like, fuck, I wish I could just keep doing that thing. So like all those kids that did do like, you know, start ballet earlier and keep... They're like, by the time they're like in their teens and stuff, they're like freakishly strong because they've been doing it forever. But if you have this gap where you didn't do it and you want to pick it up again, it's like your body's like, why are you doing this to me?
Definitely, yeah. But yeah, those are, you know, that's like us playing with movement. We used to play with our bodies a lot more than we do now.
Yes.
At some point, yeah, it's not cool anymore. Or what? Or we say, oh, my phone's more fun.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, I've been there too. But now I'm on the other spectrum where I'm saying, oh,
gotta move.
That's right.
Do you have to do like every day, or do you have like rest days at all?
I have rest days, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I train either with at the gym or at Halifax Circus. You know, I'm doing 5 days a week, and then I have 2 rest days.
Like back to back or in between, or?
It depends, but yeah, so I'll do 4 days at the gym and then 1 day at Halifax Circus. And then I'm usually working after those days.
Exactly, right? Because you have like a practice and
that's
stuff.
That's right. So I do sort of 8 hours of manual work during the day too.
Yeah. Holy shit. Oh man, that's a lot. That's
but
a lot.
Now my body's addicted to it. If I don't do it, I feel like my body's like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
So it's, it's interesting that.
And that's the thing though. I think the body loves momentum, right? Once you... It's difficult, but once you get into the groove of things, like, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. But you shouldn't stop. Because if you even stop like, if you stop like one day and you pick it up the next show, but if you stop like two or three days,
the momentum stops. Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
God damn.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, when you're coming to the studio, let's have something from your work. And you came with this, and I'm like, fuck, I was expecting like some spectacular thing. So talk me through.
I know. I was like, bringing silks would be too big. So I brought something small, but. You know, it's very important, and most people don't think of it when they see aerial acts, and that is a grip aid. So this is something we use so we don't slip.
So what is it? I can't say.
So this is it's tree rosin, so tree sap.
Okay.
And
so it's kind of like gummy.
Yeah, it is gummy. Yep. So. I usually use chalk and a tree sap mixture.
Oh.
Yeah,
so, how do you like put them together?
So chalk usually dries out your hands and stuff like that. This stuff makes it like your grip's not going anywhere. So I have a mixture here in the bottle that's crushed up tree sap and alcohol. And I'll spray that on my hands. Martha, my aerial partner, might spray it on her ankle.
Right,
because
that's
right. Areas that I'm catching behind her knee. She always complains that after we train aerials, that all her clothes stick to her. So, yeah. She's like, it's gonna be like this for the rest of the day.
How do you talking about that though? How do you get it off? Like, it just wears off after some time.
Or? Right. Yeah. So. You know, that probably that whole day, I'm like, my hands or my like arm hairs stuck together and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's something you wouldn't think of seeing these acts, but all the sort of partner aerial people use it.
So they do, you kind of have to use it.
You have to use it. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, if there's a slip up there. Mm. There's nothing you can do. Mm. If you get sweaty hands, you're kind of effed.
Oh, it's true. So like you do like the, you know, gym training to get a, but when you're training with a partner, like do you like train with the music and all
right.
that stuff?
So it depends if we're training to make a routine. Mm. So like, let's say there's a show coming up that we know we want to perform this type of routine. Mm-hmm. That one, we're probably going to be using music and sort of putting together the sequence and things like that. But if we're learning new tricks, which is one of my favorite things about circus, that's a little different. You know, with us, there's nobody to show us new tricks. So we have Instagram
and,
and YouTube. And one of my things that I love is watching people move and figure out how they did the certain trick or move. Mm. And it's a really fun collaborative process because you watch this thing and you say, oh, we can do that. And you get up there and you say, what? How?
Oh, you actually have to get up there to do it, right?
Yeah.
Do you, like, when you start training, do you, like, start closer to the floor? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were learning this one, I don't know, probably about a month or so ago. And it was like a flip. And we were pretty close to the mat for that one. We said, oh, let's get down, see if you... You know, you can do the flip and you won't die. Like, you know, I have no risk of dying.
Because you're hooked up to the thing.
I'm hooked up there, but Martha, I could drop her.
Yeah. So it's like, she has to like, I love America's Got Talent.
Yes.
And like every year there's always an aerial act. Every year there's always an aerial act. One thing they do, there's a lot of like dancing, it's graceful.
Yes.
But one thing they do is like they kind of also hook it up on their thing, their shoulders, and then they use their feet to carry the other, you know, their legs to carry the other person. I'm like,
yep.
That is going to be more difficult than doing upside down, right?
It depends.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, all those things, they're sort of unique skills.
Oh.
And there's probably some training that's involved. When we were in Vietnam, everybody, or a lot of the other acts there, they did this thing where they would put this apparatus in their mouth and the person would hang from their mouth.
So what, you're using your jaw to hold a human being
yes,
up?
Yes.
What the fuck? Where would you...
So, you know, they taught us how to make one of these things, and I want to try it.
What? Like, what? That, you know, so what, Les, like your jaw and your neck, pretty much, that's it.
It's neck strength, yeah. Your jaw is pretty strong.
Oh,
clenching,
man.
But it's neck strength.
Oh my God, so you have to like...
Yeah. So this year I've been training my neck.
How do you train your neck?
So, well, you know, I have a specialized device for people that have been in car accidents and things like that. This one, they use it on football players as well. It's called the Iron Neck. And it's a contraption that goes on your head. It's like a helmet, but you can sort of spin around in circles and you'll have a band that creates tension.
Oh, so it's like
yeah, that's right. So it's part of my neck training.
God damn.
But yes, it's a miracle thing for some people that have been in car accidents too.
Huh. I mean, and this is part of your practice, I guess. Yes. Man, so it's like you are the perfect partner, right? Because if something were to happen, it's like, oh, you know, he's gonna hook me up.
Right. Yeah. That's happened. Martha's been like, oh, my back hurts, and like, then I'm just like, okay, I'll go. Pop, 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 pop.
Wait, so like, when it comes to the assessment, you mentioned, like, how do you actually have to touch the part to see? Okay.
Yeah, it depends. You know, sometimes you all sort of get a hypothesis in my head before I even touch the person. Mm. So they'll tell me what's going on, and I'll say, oh, it's most likely this in my head. Then I'll go and see if that's the case.
One thing, you know, like they say, this pain, is it between 0 and 10 and stuff? One person's 2 might be someone's 10. Like,
definitely.
Like I know my pain threshold is tiny.
Right.
You know, I don't even like needles. So if someone is like, that might be the person's 5. And how do you like gauge?
Those are real, you know, those are real experiences for them.
Right. It's called ease my 10, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if that needle feels like a 10 for you, then
you walk
that's
that.
Your experience. Yeah.
God damn. Okay. Yeah. So we started a show which we're doing that. Let's say I now say, oh, I want to join the circus or whatever. Yeah. Like, what are some things I should consider before joining, and how do I prepare for it?
Right. So, yeah, like, I think either having an idea of what type of circus activity you want.
Okay, circus is like all the things. Yeah. Like, what are you doing, like aerial? And,
right,
and,
yeah. Yeah. So, there's a big community in Halifax, actually. There's, you know, 3 different aerial studios.
Oh.
So, there's Ines Studio, and that's where I used to teach partner acrobatics. And then there's Halifax Circus and Atlantic Circus, and they all offer aerial apparatus training. And, you know, from young ages to even older people or people with disabilities.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty accessible for, you know, most people to get into.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just go the first, like, I guess from the first class, it kind of assess you, and then I just keep going to the classes until I feel, oh, I can do this or I can do this.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, knowing about how strength works and things like that, you know, depending on what your goals are and stuff like that with circus, it's always good to have your own sort of training program that complements it.
I have to come up with it, or
most likely they'll, like, the people at that teach the classes, they'll give you some, you know, warm ups and things like that. But you're probably on your own unless you get some extra help.
So, do you teach people? I know you say you used to teach them, but like,
right? Yeah, I don't do any partner acrobatic teaching at the moment. I also used to run Acro on the Commons before the pandemic and things like that, which was awesome. That's where we'd have like 50 people come out and we'd all get together and do partner acrobatics or acro yoga. And it was great. But right now, I just started doing some personal training sessions with some clients and things like that. So that's a new venture for me. I'm always doing new things.
Okay. You do all these things. Like, I mean, you know, it's like kind of choosing your best kid or whatever. Yeah. Which do you really enjoy the most? Apart from learning, because I think that's what you really enjoy doing.
Right. Yeah. So the wellness side, I enjoy helping people. And the biggest part of that is I'm going to do whatever it takes to help somebody. Mm-hmm. And I have a big toolbox for that. Mm. You know, there's a lot of other practitioners that say, oh, I like treating this way, so I'm only going to treat this way. I say, it doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what the person needs. Mm. So I'm going to treat to what the person needs instead of what I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the circus stuff, that's the whole other ball game. I love connecting with people. I love performing. Like, performing's stressful, but I love doing it.
What's a typical routine, like the length of a typical routine?
It's short. typical length is probably around 5 minutes.
Oh,
so okay. I do all this training and things like that for 5 minutes.
So you had to do this thing in Vietnam.
Yes.
How long did you have to prepare for it, and how long was the performance in Vietnam for right. the actual show?
Yeah, so we probably prepared half a year for that one.
Wow.
And then when we were there, our performance was 5 minutes.
We're going to do this thing for 6 months, but we're going to do it for only 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been doing this thing where I ask guests, you know, like this question that someone asked me. And I love coming or close with it. It's like, what's something that happened, you know, to you before you were 17 that I feel plays a huge role in the person you are today?
Right. Well, when I was 16 years old, my mother, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And, you know, a few years later, she passed away. But losing a parent at a young age forced me to grow up fast. And, you know, we've been talking about how if there's something I want to do, I've been able to do it. And my mother is really the person that has instilled that into me. Mm. And I'm ever so thankful that I've had her as a parent, and I've been able to learn. And, you know, they say, like, you don't realize what you're missing until it's gone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I realized that my mother really gave me and my brother those skills that, you know, we have the power to do whatever we want. And if you put your mind to it and, you know, set your heart to those goals, you can do it.
Awesome, Skylar. Thanks for sharing that. What does your brother do?
He is a computer programmer.
Okay, so when we started, you blew my mind by having me stand on you. I'm like, I've never stood on a person. I feel like, okay, I can do this. But like, it's time for me to blow your mind.
All right.
You get this, and I need you to write a number between 1 and 60. Do not show me. Point it to the camera, but keep it in your mind, right? And once we're good, I'm going to be, hopefully, be able to tell you what this number is. So there's a chance that your number might be in more than one of these cards, or just one or whatever. But so I'm going to ask you, is it here, the number you've picked? Is it in this first card here?
Yeah.
Oh, flip. Okay. That's no good.
Oh.
Okay. Is it in this one?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Is it in this one?
No.
Okay. Is it in this one?
Yeah.
Flip. Okay. Is it in this one?
Yes.
Too much. Okay. And lastly, is it in here?
Yeah.
Oh my god, yo, I've never had this before. This is
Did I trick you?
Yeah. Flip. Are you sure he's not here, right? No.
No.
But he's in all these ones here. Yeah. Okay. Fuck. Okay, that's a difficult number. Let's rearrange.
You want me to pick a new number?
No. Oh no. Okay. Okay. I think I might have the number, but let me consult the spirits, you know. Fuck. This one is hard though. 47.
Yes.
Got it! Whew, okay, I hope I never have to pick that one again. It was so hard. Skylar, so much fun to talk to
you.
Thanks so much for coming to the podcast today.